I know the graphic came up pretty quickly. The children's church can be dismissed now. If you're going to children's church, you can dismiss now. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Now tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Now tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. And luckily, if you don't have your Bible, which you should, here's the, it is on the screen. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. He frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for this reminder that you are large and in charge always, Lord. We pray and we recognize that you sit on your throne and look down low. You sit up high and look down low, and you are concerned with our affairs. Help us, Lord, as we're down to look up. Help us to recognize your power, your strength, your majesty, your greatness. Help us to recognize that you are in charge. Thank you, Lord, for your love, grace, and mercy. And we ask and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about anchoring our hope in God's eternal promises. There's been a lot going on these last months, years. We've come down to a very divisive political season. And I'm one of those people that just like to just talk straight. It's been hard. It's been rough. I'm looking online now and I'm seeing people that are saying, look, if you voted for X, cancel me off as friends. You're no longer my friend. And then if you voted for Y, cancel me as a friend and things of that nature. And unfortunately, I've seen not only those in the world, but even those amongst us, Christians, that are also engaging these same type of things. And I'm just going to be honest, y'all, I've been pretty open. I had my desire of not necessarily that was my candidate, but I knew who I didn't want. And that person I didn't want is the person that God believes should be. And so I had to come, and this is me struggling with this. Coming to this point of saying, it's not my will, but thy will, Lord. And I believe that there are many others like that. And I just want to say this to, no matter who you voted for, no matter what, once again, let us not forget the blood that unifies us, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us not forget that it is not a donkey or a horse or it is the Lamb of God that we are to be following after, right? And so let us put our hope and our trust and our confidence in him. But at the same time, we're living in a real world. We're going through real struggles. There are real fears. I come from a family that has such diversity in it. My name is Domingo Antonio Reyes. I have family members, friends that I know of, some of which have a lot more uncertainty as they look forward in their lives, living right here in this country. And so for me, it's personal. It's personal. And as we start thinking about the future and all that, and a lot of rhetoric and a lot of stuff that's been thrown out there, now, you know, hearing all the things that could happen or could be, kind of gets your mind out there being a lot depressed and things of that nature. And then maybe even wondering, why, God, would you allow this? And I know some are saying, well, praise God. Some on the other side saying, praise God that this has happened and all that. And we're not here to debate those things right now. Matter of fact, I'm not here to debate that at all, truthfully. All right. What my focus is on him. And what I want to refocus us all is on him. Once again, praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. He says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. Got a new thing here, and it keeps timing out on me. I want us to look at a few things. First of all, we need to be reminded that everything that we see right now is temporary. It's going to be here for a little while, and it's going to be gone. The people we admire will be here for a little while, and they'll be gone. We look in the mirror, you're here for a little while, and then we'll be gone. And so this life is going to go on. And so what he's telling us not to do is don't put our hope and our trust in something or someone or something that is temporary. I want you to know one thing that's very clear. The Democratic Party isn't God's party. The Republican Party isn't God's party. The Libertarian Party isn't God's party. God's got a party all in his own, and what his throne and his kingdom is called the church. And here we are as kingdom citizens, and we have to respond even as this world is going and doing its things and all that. While we're in this world, we're not of this world. Remember that? As Jesus prayed, he said he's praying for his disciples, and he's saying that they're in this world, but they're not of this world, and that's who we are. We've got to go by these laws and all that, but when all these things come around, we have to refocus and remember it's his kingdom. He's our God. And it's very important that we recognize that we cannot exalt and put anyone on his throne, man, woman, or child. God's throne is his own, and he doesn't share it with anyone. Everything else is temporary. One day you're enamored by the gifts of someone, or somebody was talking about gifts this morning, right? I think that's why it came into my head. You're enamored by that, but then they'll be gone. We're enamored by the eloquence of someone's speech, and yet they'll be gone. The bravado of some, but at some point will be gone. But the only thing that stays the same is that rock and foundation we have with the Lord. Men come and go, women come and go, people come and go in our own lives and all that, but the constant that we need to remember is our faith and our trust and our confidence in the unchanging God, the everlasting God. We have to put our confidence and trust in him and his nature, because he does not change. And not only that, his promises don't change. He remains faithful to his promises to his children. We'll look at a little bit of that in a little bit. But he's constant. If there's anything you can do is take to whatever God's word says, take it to the bank. You can cash that. That's a check that will not bounce. And so let us be confident in him, because he is eternal. God's, oh, I think I jumped ahead of myself, right? His promises, they're constant. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't fear, I'm with you, I will uphold you, I'm there, but part of you. I want you to hear a couple of things of God's promises. First of all, Isaiah 4:10, he says, don't fear, for I'm with you. I'm going to be present with you as you're going through all the things you're going through. Now, he's talking to the children of Israel, the kingdom people. Guess what? We're kingdom people. Jesus actually says something very similar. Lo, I am with you always, even to when? Even to the end of the age. And so the promise for us is that when there's dark moments in our lives, God is with us. When there's light, God is with us. When you're hopeful, God is with you. When you're fearful, God is with you. God is the constant in our lives. And so no matter how the climate changes and if it gets dark and all of that, remember that God is with us. God can be with us and sustain us even through some of the toughest times. Ask Joseph. Joseph had to endure so much. He was sold into slavery. And then in slavery, he goes to Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, that was enslaved in Potiphar's house. And then from Potiphar's house, he's thrown into the prison. And from the prison, and through all these different circumstances, one thing we see about Joseph was that he was consistent in his trusting God despite the circumstances. He served where he was. He served how? In the environment that he was in, while they were bad environments, he served God. And in serving God, God was preparing him for something greater. Listen, we don't have a perspective of everything that God is doing in our lives. We have just a little bit of visibility about what is happening around us. We don't even have a full understanding of what's happening right here and now. God knows the beginning from the very end. God understands how this connects to this, connects to this, connects to this. And so our responsibility is not to look with our humanistic views, with our carnal eyes and looking at this world. No, what we want is put to the spiritual eyes, recognizing I'm not going to see everything because God is in charge. God is guiding. God is leading. And even when I feel that he's leading or moving in a different direction, I've got to trust in him in this process. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't fear. I'm with you. Philippians 4:7 says that there's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. He's going to guard our hearts, our minds. In other words, there's a peace that comes with putting our trust and our faith and our confidence in him. I don't know. There's so many times in my personal life where I have been so confused about what's going to happen next. I don't have a job and now I'm looking for one. Or there's a situation that came up and yet I don't have my whole mind wrapped around what to do and where to go and all of that. And yet God delivers. He's delivered me out of so many of those chaotic situations, so many of those moments where I was in such confusion. And I didn't know the way. But God does. God has the way. And he's asking us to trust in him. And as we put our confidence in him, you see all the stress that I was trying to stress over I'm trying to think ahead and what could happen and how is this going to affect my family and my friends and how is this going to, and all of that. And all of a sudden I go, you know what? I'm trying to direct the ship. I'm getting depressed because I'm overthinking and continuing to think and continuing to dwell and all that. And yet he tells us to come with our burdens, to take them to the Lord in prayer, to leave them right there. And as I'm leaving them right there, I'm recognizing, you know what? I don't have to carry all this. I don't have to have all this on my shoulders. The more I think and dwell on it, the more depressed I get. And so finally, when you go and you just leave it at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to serve you the best I can. I'm going to live the best I can. Whatever the environment is, there's some stuff that I've overthought that you're going to say, it wasn't even nothing. You were sitting there dwelling and what's called on all this stuff, and it's not even come to pass. You know, there's a lot of rhetoric thrown out there in campaigns, but it's a lot harder to put things in practice than to say something on a campaign trail. And so some of these things that we're fearing about may not even come to pass. And if they do, guess what? God will be there right with us in that moment also. But the perspective, once again, is to put God on the throne and recognize, I'm nobody. We're nobodies. In the grand scheme of it all, we're called to be his servants. And let me stress that for a little bit, because we're called to be his servants. I'm not talking to the world now. I'm talking to the church. We're called to be his servants. And that means putting him first. Putting him first. And unfortunately, there were some that put a party first or a candidate first. But God, that's his throne. And so we need to be reminded. I know I needed to be reminded that it's all about him and nothing about us. And so let us put our focus on him. And then the presence of God will be with us. The peace of God is with us. And then Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. And dot, 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 plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future. In other words, if you know the history of that, when he's telling them these plans that he has for them to prosper, for Israel to prosper, they were in Babylonian captivity. They were slaves in a sense, or at least captives in for a sense. And for 70 years, he told them that they would be. This is part of the plan. And it wasn't fun, and it wasn't good, and it wasn't nice, and all of that. But the Lord's really, what he was saying is, I haven't abandoned you. I haven't left you. There were some that wanted to hang up their harps and stop singing. There were some that wanted to just give up on life altogether. And even as he was talking to them, he told them, look, as you're in this situation, continue to build your homes, continue to live well, continue to even think of the welfare of the country in which they were living that was oppressing them. He said, for in their well-being is your well-being. Now, these are tough things as we're really thinking about it and all that, but once again, it's looking at a bigger picture. Sometimes we're so focused on only what we can see and then what we think. We don't know what we think could happen, could be, a direction it could go and all that. And so once again, as Christians, I'm talking to Christians, our hope is in nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is in God on the throne and the promises that he has for us. Our hope is in the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come back on another one day to be able to gather his elect, his people, his church, to gather us up. Our hope is in all of those things, that we are going to be with him forevermore. That's where our hope is. My hope is not in Kamala. My hope is not in Donald. My hope is not in Republican or Democrat. My hope is in him. And he's the only one that if we keep our eyes focused on him, don't idolize these people. Don't idolize these. He tells us here, they're here for just a little while. Don't put your confidence in the princes of this world and those in authority. Let's put our confidence and our hope in him. Verse 5 says, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord. You know, struggle has always been with God's people. And I share this with you all the time, that it's something that just comes with the territory. We're Christian. When Jesus told his disciples, come follow me, he also told them to pick up their cross in order to follow him. A cross of suffering, a cross of shame, a cross of condemnation. He tells them, pick up your cross in order to follow me. And what he's telling them is there's going to be persecution, there's going to be tough times, there's going to be, this is par for the course. This is part of the process. But even as we go through these tough times, what we do is we hold to God's unchanging hand. All right? Our hope is in him. See, if we put our hope in people are going to fail you. Don't put your hope all in Domingo. Nope. Don't put your hope in a candidate. It will fail you. But God, put our hope in the Lord. Here are some ways that we can do that. Get back on our knees. I'm not talking about those who lost. I'm saying every single body, get back on our knees. God is on the throne, and God desires our love and our service. And even, listen, first of all, there's no winners and losers in all this stuff that's been going on. There's no winners and losers. It just is, right? And now we got to move on through the process. And as Christians, I want us to recognize as Christians, the greatest commandment we have is to what? Love one another. Well, hold on. Who's the one another? Right? Yeah. Think about who's my neighbor? Was it Peter that asked that? Who's my neighbor? Right? Who is my neighbor? And we got to start thinking about who our neighbor is, because then it's like, well, who do we love? I love the Republicans. I love MAGA. I love MAGA. Don't take that clip out of its context. All right. We love the Democrats. I love the followers of Kamala. Why? We love. We're called to love. And love is hard. Love doesn't mean that we agree with one another. Love doesn't mean we align with every single position. Love doesn't even mean you deserve it. Because guess what? God loved us first. And I don't know about you, but there's so much that we've done against God, that I've done against God, that you've done against God, that doesn't merit his love. And that's why he's got such an amazing love. God's love is so great, because despite what we do, despite him knowing our sickness of sin, despite him knowing our struggle, he loves us, and he loved us so much, he demonstrated by sending his son to go to the cross, to die for each and every one of us. God loves us, and he calls us to love. And love is never easy. Matter of fact, when he was asked about who is my neighbor, what's the story that he gives us? The Good Samaritan. And if you know anything about the Good Samaritan, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And the whole idea here was, here's the hated Samaritan, the person who's got mixed blood and isn't pure in their eyes. The stranger and the foreigner. And he's been beaten up and in that ditch. And the one who loved was the one who stopped and stooped down low and picked him up and put him on his donkey and took him to the inn and took some money out of his pocket. See, he demonstrated love beyond the labels, beyond the nationality, beyond the rift, beyond all of those things. He looked beyond that and saw there's a human being in need of help. And for the regular, the Jew of that time, then most of them would have just kept walking by. He gives us examples. Even the religious, the priests walked on by. But there was one. The Samaritan was the one. I think I had that all mixed up, right? Y'all follow me. But the Samaritan, the despised one, was the one that shows love. And you see this rift between two. And while you see the rift between the two, you see love beyond the challenge, the differences. Love beyond the differences. Why could this hero, this Samaritan hero, stoop down and help his fellow man? He helps his fellow man because love. Love does it. God is calling us to do that. And so what I want to encourage you, spend time praying. Spend time talking. Spend time reading God's word. Spend time meditating upon God's word and God's promises. Spend time there. These are the times where revivals happen, spiritual revivals happen. They usually happen during times where things begin to get bleak and dark along the land and all that. And you know who it is? It's the Christians. It's those that love, that rise up. When slavery was overtaking this land, there were Christians that were instrumental in being able to bring apart this change. And so even as the darkness of this land and all that, there is God's people are still here. And we're called to be light. Even if things get dark, we're called to be that light. And light has to shine. And what is the shine? It's not putting a spotlight on us. No, we're doing and all that in order to put a spotlight on him, to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. It's our call. And listen, look at the diversity that we have here. This is uncommon. This is challenging and uncommon at the same time. It's a challenging thing, but it's a beautiful representation of what heaven is going to look like. And in order for us to be able to be happy over there, we've got to start getting happy over here. Amen? All right. Oh, I wish that the world could see. I wish sometimes we could see. If we could take the blinders off. You know, I've shared with you so much in my family. We've got so many different colors in our family. We've got so much diversity in our family. And so for me, this was just part of growing up. This is part of my life. This diversity that we see, this is part of my life. It's been challenging to see the hate, to see the division, to see things that I thought we were maybe moving in a better direction, and it looks like it's the same old, same old. It's tough. It's tough. But God. But God. As tough as it is, guess what? It's been. It's been. It may not have been as open. It's been, and God's still been thriving and on the throne. God's still been blessing. God's still been helping. God's still been, amen? We've still been moving forward. I know the situations are tough. I know that sometimes it gets a little scary. I know our minds tend to wander and we start thinking and all that. And that's why I'm bringing this message to say, look, my hope isn't in what I see. My hope isn't in what I think. My hope isn't in a party. My hope isn't in a person. My hope is in the Lord. My confidence is in him. He is my anchor. He is the one that helps us when the storms go. He helps keep us steady. He helps gives us that foundation to be able to stand on. When everything else is sinking, and he has been that from the earliest times that we can read in our Bibles to now. And that's why I'm saying it's important for us to get back into that word. Because in the word, we see ourselves. We see God. We see his faithfulness. We see his consistency, especially when man isn't consistent. And you see blessings even in the midst of what some may consider tragedy. Spend time with God. Pray with expectation. Take those burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And be a source of hope. Oh, and I ain't get enough amen. So you be a source of hope. You be a source of hope. Don't drag people down. Don't if you won, don't gloat. If you lost, don't sit there and try to pick at the other people. And all. No, let's continue to keep our eyes focused on the real prize. And it's not here. What we see here is chaos, division, and craziness. Let's just be honest. On all sides. On all sides. But God desires to give us something greater. God desires to give us that peace that passes all understanding. God desires to give us that foundation that we lay our lives upon, that even if when the storms come, that we'll be like that palm tree that bends but doesn't break. It's weathered the storms. It goes through them and all of that. And they're always scary and it always looks like, and yet it remains firm. Why? Because it's rooted. Let us be rooted in the Lord. Let us be remember always that He's large and in charge. And we're just His humble servants. And as we live, let us live faithfully to Him always. And He will give us exactly what we need. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here today, and you haven't joined the winning team yet. You know, when we're talking about these type of things, the things I'm sharing with you, it's not the way the world would do things. But God has given us a different standard. Why? Because we're in a different place. We're in a different kingdom. We're under a different set of rules. And I desire that you also be a part of His kingdom where God and Jesus Christ sits on that throne and that we are now kingdom citizens of His. And what does that mean? That means that, look, this is His kingdom. This is the King's domain. This is where He rules. This is where He regulates and He gives us what we ought to do and how we ought to live. And He desires that we live a life of love and that we share that love and show that love always. But in order to get into this kingdom, in order to get the blessings that come, which is salvation, which is reigning with Him, not just now, but forevermore with Him in heaven, then you have to come into this body. You have to come into this family. And you do that by obeying the gospel in baptism. Today is a day of salvation. Today can be your day of being transferred out of darkness into His marvelous light. Today can be your day. In Acts chapter 2, there was thousands that came to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And they were there hearing this message. And Peter and the other apostles, they were preaching and teaching and sharing the word of God. Peter preached and said to those that had asked him, like, what do we need to do? They were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted because they heard the gospel message. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose. And they were convicted in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And notice in verse 38, Acts 2:38, he doesn't say pray a prayer and accept me into your heart. He doesn't say, you know, mourn on the mourner's bench until the Holy Spirit zaps you and he starts speaking in tongues. Or no, what he says is repent. First of all, turn. Turn from your lifestyle. Turn from you being Lord of your life and turn and make me Lord. Turn, repent. And then he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Some people think, well, baptism is just an outward sign of inward grace. It's showing other people that I've already been saved. It's a demonstration, right? And it is. It is a demonstration. But it's more than just that. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, this promise is for you, the Jews that were there, for your children, for all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In other words, this is all inclusive. Every single body has to do this. Everyone. Well, if you're someone and you haven't, you're part of that everyone. Will you accept his invitation to come to his new life today. We've got everything ready. The water's ready. We've got clothes. Right? I even got an outfit that'll keep me a little bit dry. Right? We desire, if you're ready to come and to give your life to Jesus Christ, even on this morning, we invite you to come today, right now, as we stand to sing the song of invitation.